Our scripture reading for this morning is Titus chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. And let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into today's message. Blessed Holy Father, we now draw near to you through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We confess with all our hearts that we have no approach and no fellowship apart from the justifying righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And so with full faith, we cling to his righteousness, to his redeeming work on our behalf, so that we may enjoy fellowship with you. Will you please, Holy Father, for the sake of your Son and by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word. Help us, Lord, to understand and apply your word rightly. We confess that we cannot do this on our own, but need the help and enablement of your Holy Spirit. So will you please be so gracious and merciful to grant unto us, your children, that illumination that we need, so that your word may be effective for our sanctification. And we humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing our series in Titus, picking up where we left off in the first chapter of this epistle, resuming our study of verse 7 to verse 8. If you recall, we are still working our way through the qualifications for eldership as they're listed here in this opening section of Titus. An elder, as verse 7 of our text clarifies, is God's steward. To him has been entrusted the oversight of God's church. We know to be discriminating when it comes to whom we entrust the care of our children, our business, or finances. So how much more important is it to appoint qualified men for the office of elder or overseer? You may remember from last week that while verse 7 lists the negative qualifications for eldership, what he must not be, verse 8 lists the positive qualifications for eldership, what he must be. Last week, we had considered the first two positive qualifications of verse 8, and that was that an elder must be hospitable and a lover of good. And today, we'll be moving on to the third positive qualification, which is self-control. An elder, as God's steward, must be self-controlled. In the original Greek, the word translated as self-controlled is sophron, which comes from two words, sozo, saved, and phrein, understanding. The word means safe or sound in mind. It means moderate as to opinions or passions. It means to be discreet, sober, temperate. See, a person who is sophron, who is sound in mind, moderates himself. He doesn't go off the rails with his opinions or desires. He doesn't get carried away with extreme, over-the-top sentiments or ideas. He doesn't go overboard in his judgment of the matters and circumstances that he faces. He doesn't allow his thinking to go off the deep end. A person who has a sound mind knows how to moderate his thoughts and feelings so that he is a proportionate person, that he has an appropriate perspective. A few years ago, A mother was driving her 6-year-old son to school on a California freeway, and as she drove along, another driver cut her off. Evidently upset, she made an insulting hand gesture at the other driver. Moments later, she heard a gunshot and her son crying out in pain. She immediately pulled over and found that her son had been shot. The driver who had cut her off had rolled down his window and fired a single shot into her vehicle. Her son died shortly thereafter in the hospital. The man who responded to this mother's hand gesture is an extreme example of someone who failed to moderate his thoughts and feelings. In a space of a few moments, this man's mind spiraled out of control to the point that he thought this woman's behavior warranted the disproportionate response of firing his gun into her car. Now, most people who lack inner self-control will probably never get that carried away. More likely, they might ruminate on that woman's offensive gesture. And as they do, they might grow increasingly upset. What began as simple irritation metastasizes into severe, over-the-top judgment. They might go home and vent to their spouse about this horrible woman who flipped them off on the highway, not considering that her behavior may have been a rare lapse of judgment, an uncharacteristic lapse of judgment for a person who is normally considerate and polite. They might rant and rave about the event annoyance. That's how a self-controlled person would respond. They would not allow their thoughts to spiral out of control into major frustration over a minor matter. They would do the sensible thing in a situation like that. And what's the sensible thing? Blow it off as a minor indiscretion and forget about it. A person who controls his mind sees a molehill for what it is, a molehill. A person who fails to moderate his mind makes a mountain out of a molehill. A person who has problems exercising inner self-control is a person who tends to go overboard with his thoughts and feelings. A person like that is unqualified for the office of elder. Think how many churches have been dragged into conflict because a leader lacked inner self-control. Think of that pastor disrupting the peace of the church because of a minor criticism he received from a congregant. Instead of nipping his spiraling thoughts at the bud, he allows his mind to wander into conspiratorial thinking. He made that erroneous comment because he despises me. And he is trying to hinder my work. I'm sure he's been bad-mouthing me to his entire circle. And unless I deal with him, he'll poison the entire congregation against me. And so he anathematizes that church member, labels him a troublemaker, stirs up controversy, breaks the unity of the flock of Christ. If he had just brushed off the criticism, or even just had a frank conversation from the get-go, nothing would have come of it. But instead, he invited trouble and grief into the church. Why? Because of his unsoundness of mind. Because he allowed his thoughts and feelings to go overboard and blow everything out of proportion. Again, a man who tends to do that, who has problems with controlling his mind, is unqualified for the office of elder. Let's consider another example that applies to soundness of mind. Remember, self-control, sophron, literally means sound in mind. You notice how some people allow their mundane interests to spiral into obsessions. Now, there may be nothing wrong with the interests in and of themselves. It may be sports. It may be some hobby. The problem is that they allow their fascination with whatever it is that they enjoy to go off the rails. We sometimes see this tendency with sports. Some people become obsessive about their favorite sports team. They spend inordinate time, energy, and money following their team. They'll skip important family events or call out sick from work to catch the game. They'll spend inordinately for tickets and memorabilia and grow stressed and despondent when their team loses a match. They get carried away with their passion until it consumes their thoughts, wallet, and peace of mind. But it's just a ball game. A proportionate response to watching a ball game is lightheartedness, lighthearted support, lighthearted enjoyment. But some let their affections for a game or some other trivial interest to go overboard, to the point of obsession, to the point of impeding their God-given priorities and responsibilities. Those who develop an inordinate attachment to their diversions do so due to a lack of self-control. They fail to moderate their thoughts and feelings and keep them proportionate and appropriate. And a man who has problems with moderating his affections for things that are of little importance, for things that are matters of indifference to God and to our Lord Jesus Christ, is a man who lacks self-control. And a man who lacks self-control in this way will be too consumed with the things of the world to exemplify to the church love for the things of God and Christ. Such a man is unqualified for the office of elder. Now, you may have noticed by this time, as we've been going through this, the qualifications of elders over the past several weeks, that all these qualifications not only apply to elders, but are requirements for the entire flock of Christ. And self-control is no exception. And this becomes abundantly clear if we flip over to chapter 2 of Titus. This is what we read in chapter 2, verse 2 to 6. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Notice, older men who are believers, they are to be what? We read in verse 2, self-controlled. Notice, as you read in verse 3 to verse 5, older women are to train younger women to be what? Verse 5, to be self-controlled. Notice verse 6, the younger men of Christ's flock also are to be what? Self-controlled. Brethren in Christ, we don't need to make this into a complex issue. It's ultimately a matter of obedience to our Redeemer and Lord. He requires us to be self-controlled, keeping our thoughts and feelings on a godly leash. Some Bible translations render sophron, which is translated self-controlled in the ESV, they render that word as sensible. Sensible. I think that's a good rendering. Sensible. A sensible person keeps his thoughts and feelings from going off the deep end. When we are submerged in some dark rumination, when we are carried away by some obsessive desire, when we are losing our mind over some insignificant anxiety or fear, we ought to always consider if we are being a sensible person in that moment. Brethren in Christ, when our brother or sister in the faith criticizes us or says or does something that is not to our liking, Are we prone to letting our thoughts run away from us? If we do, that is the time to interrupt our train of thought and ask ourselves, am I being sensible? As I sit here and ruminate, am I blowing things out of proportion? Aren't I being over the top to assume the worst about this person's motive? Could it be that my extreme thoughts are warping my view of this person's intent and character? And as we interrupt the downward spiral, let us remember, my Lord requires that I be temperate and sensible, keeping my thoughts under control. So stop. There are more important things I need to focus on right now than griping over a little criticism or nursing my pricked feelings. Think, brethren, of the Apostle Paul as he wrote this letter. Do you think he sat around moping every time someone made an inconsiderate comment? Do you think he would sit around and vent to Titus when someone said or did something insensitive? If he did that, I doubt he would have been a fruitful servant of Christ. Now, Paul did address serious allegations that threatened the stability of the church and the integrity of the gospel. But he wasn't wound up by every little thing that could be construed as disrespectful. He was sensible. See? He was of a sound mind. He controlled his thoughts and feelings and focused on what was important, his stewardship from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, brethren in Christ, let us do the same. Let us remember, our minds are not our own. Our minds are not our own, but have been redeemed along with the rest of our bodies for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. How easily we forget that our minds are a part of our bodies. Our brains, within our skull, within our head, that's a part of our bodies. If we are in Christ, our minds are his holy possessions. And for that reason, just as we are not free to let our mouths run wild, just as we are not free to let our appetites run wild, just as we are not free to allow our sexuality to run wild, we are not free to let our minds run wild. We are to keep our thoughts under control in stewardship for Christ. We are to do so that we may be sensible people, not over-the-top people, not people who tend to go off the deep end. We are to do so that we may be people with sound judgment, proportionate people, appropriate people, not people who respond to minor issues with disproportionate angst and frustration. We are to do so that we may be people who are truly beneficial to God's church, people who are accountable to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as it pertains to the use of our minds. Let's pray. Blessed Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is so very practical. Sometimes people, wrongly so, dismiss your word as not being very relevant to their daily lives, when indeed, as we have been digging into your word, it is by far the most relevant thing to our daily lives. We see the world around us as it's gripped with so much strife and problems and fighting, and we see how necessary your word is, because so much of that comes from a lack of self-control over one's mind, over one's thoughts, over one's feelings. So, Holy Father, we pray, as those who may very well be liable to let our thoughts run away from us, especially during times of stress, during times of anxiety, that we would obey your word, keeping our thoughts and feelings under control. We know, Lord, as those who have been redeemed for your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are stewards of our bodies, and we are charged to keep every single part of our bodies, from our mind to our eyes, to our mouths, to our hands, to our feet, every part under control in godliness. And so, Holy Father, we ask for your enablement and help to even keep our own thoughts, our own mind under control, on a godly leash, so to speak, so that we may be reasonable and sensible people who do not get carried away, but exercise sound judgment in every aspect of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.